Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week last week? Oh, my goodness. I'm about to say yesterday. All week last week. Well, last week we started shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew as we talked about the signs that he's lusting after you, but he's not in love. Yes, that was a continued conversation from the Monday before. And we talked about the fact that he doesn't respect your boundaries. Now, the Due Time crew immediately picked up on that one and said that if you do not respect my boundaries, you do not love me. No. You know, you have to, you know, think about love when you're respecting boundaries, because that's what's going to be the driving force of the things that you do and the things that you don't do. Absolutely. And what about he doesn't ever plan, or she doesn't ever plan for the future with you? Yeah, you won't have to think about that thing. Absolutely. You're going to have to think about that thing, because, you know, when you are thinking of the future, it's going to have to be up outside that bed and outside of, you know, what we do on an everyday basis. You know, you got to think about children and marriage and, you know, how is it all going to fit into God's plan for your life? And if there's never any conversation about that, then maybe, just maybe, the future is not what he has planned, you know, with you. So that if you ain't got no plans for the future, I mean, you really probably are not in love, which means that you probably just looking for the physical fact. So those are just two of the things that you really got to watch out for. But those are two of the more common issues that you experience. You know, we could not finish a Monday morning properly if not for the switch tip with Shanti. Level up to God. Now, go ahead and put that hand to hand with whether he's lusting after you or he's in love with you. Because, you know, if everybody's thinking about God the way they should be, then these type of things would be easily detectable. So when you level up to God, he's going to give you a level of discernment as well. He's going to open up your eyes and allow you to see some things that you may not have been able to see before. So when you step up to God's standards, then you got an issue. You got an issue, a good one. Yes, you got a good issue with God. And now he can help you kind of navigate through all of the things of life. Yes, and you won't be walking around with blinders on. So leveling up to God is actually a good thing.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday church folk day rolled around, and, you know, we're still on our kingdom business tip. Yes, that series, not just kingdom business for the Lord, but that kingdom business series. And a whole lot of stuff was going on. A whole lot of stuff was going on in episode 5. You know, we talked about that interview that that took place, if we want to call it an interview. The Yolanda Adams character, Denita Jordan, you know, figured she'd feel out, you know, the person she would be sharing studio space with. And, oh, it got quite ugly. And she was pressing her, you know, what's your testimony, and, you know, why do you want to sing gospel music? And listen, you know, let's look at this thing and see ourselves there. You know, are we nurturing people? You know, that's a big question. You know, once we're, you know, on the side of, you know, I've chosen Jesus as my personal Savior, then we automatically have been charged to begin discipling. And I just want to stick a pin here this morning on that one right there. You know, discipling is a big thing. That evangelism is a big thing. And you don't have to be an evangelist to evangelize and to disciple. And, you know, a lot of people don't seize the moment. You know, my grandmother used to always say, God will always present an opportunity for you to share the Lord. And man, was she ever right. Look at what we're talking about here. Here you have this seasoned gospel thinker who has an opportunity to work with a younger individual, period. Just a younger individual. You know, we're not going to talk about can she sing as well, has she been singing as long, but just a young person. And this was the perfect opportunity for her to just kind of step out there and nurture her and, you know, introduce Christ to her. And even if she did go to church because she wanted to know who was her covering and all this kind of stuff, well, why don't you cover her? In a manner where only you could cover her, because everybody's presentation is quite different. Everybody's interaction is going to be different. So here you had a perfect opportunity to present Jesus in a special way that only Denita Jordan could. So the reason why I'm sticking a pen there is because, can you say that? Can you say that God has given you an opportunity to present him in a special way to a person who, you know, you didn't even think initially that would even happen with? But once you got to talking, once you spent some time around the person, you know, you got to talking and the Spirit of the Lord started dealing with you, and you're like, no, I can actually have this conversation. And it doesn't have to be a Bible study. You know, you have to turn that conversation into a Bible study, but turn it into a quality conversation about God. Ooh. So that's what we should have learned from that episode of Kingdom Business. You know, regardless of what we think and how we feel, we can get a little bit of something out of everything. Right? Right. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and our girlfriend Viv was on point, and she presented the socially conscious segment. And she gave us quite a few things. Well, she let us know that this woman who was responsible for the death of Emmett Till, well, they went back to court trying to hold her responsible for, you know, what went down way back when, and doesn't look like he won. They said the prosecutors didn't look like they presented such a case to kind of go back and make her address what they let her slide with many years ago. But have no fear, there's always a God who's watching over us, who knows everything. Okay. All right, well, the ladies were in the house, and we talked about, what did we talk about on Wednesday? We talked about signs that you're idolizing your spouse. Yes, and quite a few ways came up. You know, when you think of life without them, you feel empty. Now, that's a big one. I have to say that's a big one. If we don't even go past there, that's a big one because, you know, a lot of people talk about how, you know, they're not complete unless they have this person or this person completes them or whatever have you. And, you know, is that supposed to be God's job? Or is that supposed to be man's job? Well, that's the other thing we talked about. The fact that, you know, you're expecting man to do the job and fill the spaces in your life and the things in life that only God should be filling. Yeah, when you've gotten to that point, you know you're all out of whack. You're about twisted. So you got to go back to the drawing board and get that thing together. Because we don't want that. We surely don't want that. Okay? Well, Thursday, Therapeutic Thursday, rolled around. And we talked about those gifted children and some of the challenges that they have. And, you know, control issues. When everybody's kind of pulling you from side to side. Yes. You got mom and dad pulling you, you know, to be the star that they were never able to be. You got the coach who's pulling you, you know, to be just that perfect individual that they want you to be. And, you know, you got your friends pulling you in the opposite direction and try to get you to hang out with the man. Where's the control? More than likely, it's not in your hands as a young person. So we want to make sure that we keep those kind of things in mind when we're talking about our gifted children. And we're going to finish that conversation this week, Spare. And Friday, Freestyle Friday, Bold and Bound. And guess what? We talked about that Bishop Lamar Whitehead. Yeah. There was a Fat Joe interview that took place. And, quite a bit of stuff got revealed. And I invite you to go back and listen. You know, we had spoken about this whole, you know, flashy bishop before who had all of this money hanging around his neck and so forth and so on. Well, Fat Joe kind of started getting into some fangs, and he didn't go all the way, but he did ask some good questions. Yeah, he did ask some good questions, and I'm going to send you back to that interview, and then I'm going to send you back to that episode on Friday, so you can go back and listen, and you can check out all the things that were said. Good conversation. Really good conversation. All right. Well, the Word Prayer Project was in effect last night, and love was the topic. And you know, when God gave me that topic last evening, you know, it immediately all kinds of skyrockets started going off. Because love is so broad. And as I always say, I love the prayer request. Because it lets you know that people are thinking. And, you know, once you hear one prayer request, something else kind of wakes you up and sparks your thoughts. And God starts messing around up in that head. And up in that heart and up in that spirit. And we got some good prayer requests last night. So I always invite you to go back and, you know, and listen and be a part of that prayer. If you were not able to catch us last night, you know, prayer never goes dead. And man, oh man, oh man, it was good. It was good. It was a good one last night. As always, I really enjoy our prayer nights. I really do. I feel so refreshed afterwards. I feel so refreshed afterwards. So, you know, I invite you to go back and listen. Even if you did, you know, participate in the prayer last night, go back. You know, you can never get too much. Okay? All right. Well, today, I was shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Can you believe we are almost out of August? Ooh, time is flying by. I'm so happy to be with you today. Giving God thanks that we're on this side of the grave together. And we're starting this week all over again. We had a powerful, wonderful week last weekend. Here we are already back at it again. So we got some things to talk about. Go get that pen and paper because I got some information for you that I think you're going to find extremely useful. And go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And go nowhere because we'll be right back.
It's the most natural and healthy option for you and your baby. Breastfeeding offers benefits for both mother and child that simply cannot be found through other means. Through the Better Beginnings Breastfeeding Program, we provide breastfeeding education and experience to new and expecting mothers with a wide array of services, including classes, instructional materials, a breast pump loaner program, and even the Mothers of Milk Support Group. To learn more about the benefits of breastfeeding and the services we offer at the Pitt County Health Department, just call 902-2382 or visit pittcountync.gov/health.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Yes, isn't God great? Isn't he amazing that here we are again? Despite what we did last week, despite how many times we put ourselves in harm's way, despite how many times we may have been disobedient, you know, sins of omission and sins of commission, we decide. That God is still merciful. And he said, come on, you got another day. And not only do you have another day, but you got another day with brand new mercies. Now that's some kind of God. That is some kind of God. So I welcome you to the top of the week with me. And, you know, we had an opportunity to do our prayer thing last night. So if you were not part of the Word Prayer Project, you know, that starts our week. Our week doesn't start on Monday. Our week starts on Sunday night. So go back and get your prayer and a dose of love. Get that information about love that you just may not have thought about. Yeah, because that's what's going to help get us through the week.
All righty.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Get those pens and papers out, because I got a little piece of information. Okay? There are some things you need to know about fibromyalgia. Yeah, I was having this conversation with Shantish yesterday. And we were talking, and I hadn't gotten our conversation or our topic, our medical topic. You know, Monday I always like to start off with something medical. And we stumbled on this one. I was like, oh, we're going to do this. Okay. All righty. So, a few quick pieces of information. Fibromyalgia affects about 10 million Americans. It causes widespread joint pain, memory problems, mood and sleep disturbances, as well as headaches. It mimics the symptoms of some other pain conditions. It stumps powerful medical tools, and it puzzles a wide range of the medical community. Yeah. Okay. So we got some facts about fibromyalgia. So fact number one, fibromyalgia is a neurological disease affecting a person's sensory processing system. Now, man, when I tell you that's a lot to digest, let me read that to you one more time. Fibromyalgia is a neurological disease affecting a person's sensory processing system. Now, what does that mean? It says fibromyalgia does not involve inflammation or damage to joints. Brain imaging and studies have shown that fibro is a disorder of the central nervous system. Okay? It says that it's a neurological disease driven by the central nervous system, that the brain and spinal cord in people with fibromyalgia process pain signals differently than in other people, so that they have heightened sensitivity to pain. You know, I remember my sister used to always say that, you know, her daughter used to hit her, you know, somebody laughing and hit you, and she was like, oh! And, you know, people think that, you know, you're overreacting, but, yo, that's some pain for you, I'm telling you. They say other sensory reactions, response to light and noise, for instance, are amplified as well. Noting that the brain imaging has helped cement such observations. The brain regions that are more active in people with fibromyalgia are the multisensory areas, those that respond to pain, heat, and pressure. I hate light. I hate light. Oh, my goodness gracious. I hate light. Yeah, it bothers me a lot. And, you know, the more I read about this fibromyalgia, the more I get to understand my body and why things happen or don't happen. So I can attest to that. Fibromyalgia is a neurological disease affecting a person's sensory processing system. You process pain much different than other people do. Okay? I'm a fibromyalgia candidate. And I live with this thing, and that's a really true, not a candidate, I got that wrong, but it's very true. At the end of the day, it's a very true statement that was just made, okay? Fact number two, diagnosis involves assessment of symptom severity. So no blood tests or imaging can confirm fibromyalgia, because very few things show up. So what the first fact is, you know, when they say that imaging showed certain things, it showed those things. It doesn't show other things that they tend to look for when you're complaining about your pain and, you know, the fact that, you know, I hurt. It's very, 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 very difficult thing. So they say that testing and diagnosing fibro, they say it's very, very difficult to assess. It takes a long time, and they have to go through many, many, many different, you know, tests of the body itself. There are 19 areas of the body that they check. They say the more widespread the pain, the more likely it stems from the way the brain is processing pain messages. And patients also rate levels of fatigue, memory and sleep disturbance, depression, headache, and other physical symptoms. So everything with us is more severe than with the average individual. Okay? Fact number three, fibromyalgia does not damage muscles, joints, and connective tissues. So rheumatologists consider fibro to be a musculoskeletal disease because of the discomfort in the muscles and joints. And a medical advisor says that there is no specific disease in those areas, that evidence suggests that most of the pain has to do with changes in pain processing. Yeah. How you process the pain. Yeah, I know. It's, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Because of this pain thing, and it's kind of subjective and relative to who's actually experiencing it, you go through a lot of difficulty. Thank God that now that they've done a lot more study, that it's not so difficult. You know, it's very difficult. I remember when I first got sick, all I could say was, my body hurts. It was so weird to just say, your body hurts. You just can't. It was just no other way to describe it. All I know is I had come from major, major surgery for multiple times, and it was like a blow to my body itself. You know, I had, you know, supposedly gotten back, you know, some of the other stuff that had happened to my body from the surgery, but my body just hurt. That's all you know, is that your body hurts. And you know, it's a little difficult, but thank God studies are helping to, you know, address what goes on in the body, okay? They say, the next fact, that fibromyalgia is more common among women. It affects men and children as well. So they have twice as many women as men suffer from this condition. No one knows exactly why. They say women are more likely to develop chronic illnesses in general that overlap, like migraines and IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, and pain disorders. They think that, you know, they feel after studying that estrogen and other hormones may play a part in this, and it makes us more susceptible as women. And they say that women are more likely to complain of conditions and go to physicians earlier than men do. Okay? They say the downside about children going through this is that when children experience fibromyalgia, that it's more thought of as growing pains. So, you know, you're stretching, you're growing, you're developing, you know, you're going to go through this. And they say because of that, that fibromyalgia is undetected in children more often. And that makes a lot of sense. That's, you know, because when you hear children complain of their body, you don't really, you know, pay it attention. Okay? But do so. Do so. They say the next fact is fibromyalgia is not a psychological condition. Okay. They say depression and anxiety are about 4 to 5 times more common in people with fibro than normal healthy individuals, but it doesn't mean that depression and anxiety are the same thing as fibromyalgia, okay? They say almost a lot of different pain disorders have links to depression and anxiety, okay? All righty. The next fact, treatment involves antidepressants and anti-seizure drugs. Yeah, yeah. And that's not a good thing. So basically, they're saying that anti-seizure drugs are thought to improve the brain neurotransmitter issues in fibromyalgia. So let me just break this down to you like this. When you get medicine, when you have fibromyalgia, they give you meds that tell your brain to read pain differently because they don't have any meds to address what you're actually going through. So the drugs that are given for, you know, for antidepressants and anti-seizure drugs are pretty much, you know, the reason, I'm sorry, I just lost my thought. What was my thought? I'm so sorry. See what happens with your memory? All right, so you got, okay, so you have those type of antidepressants and anti-seizure drugs address the same thing, pretty much, that happens when they're trying to get your brain to read the pain differently. And it, I have to tell you, it exacerbates everything. You see how they were talking about the pain and the depression and all of that kind of stuff? You know, a minute ago, yeah, remember, it's not a psychological condition, that although you go through depression and all of that and anxiety, it gets heightened when you take those antidepressants and anti-seizure drugs. So if you're already going through that and then they give you meds that's supposed to do one thing and then it ends up making everything else worse, that you just, it's a very difficult thing to balance. And it's almost sends everything into a heightened, I'd be in church. I said, Grandma, stop talking so much. Yeah, because I had a very chatty group of people. And every time we took a break, like offering, everybody wanted to talk. And it sounded like a million people were talking. And that was during the time I was taking meds. So it just makes things worse. So, yes, they treat you with those type of drugs, the same drugs they do for people who have seizure and who's depressed and that. That's no fun at all. Okay? And the last fact they're giving us is people with fibromyalgia need exercise, but not too much. Okay? They say that exercise is the most effective drug. But although it works like the drugs for the fibro, they say raising the chemicals in your body, at the end of the day, it kind of works against you. Well, first of all, you can't move that much. If you're in pain, how much moving can you do? So I just, you know, Shantice and I were talking, and she was asking, you know, was the fibromyalgia genetic? It actually is. It actually is. You know, both me and my sister have it. And, you know, years ago, they didn't know that it was connected genetically or if it's hereditary or, yeah. My mother never had it, nor she had everything else, but she never had that. But like I said, both of us have it. So, you know, if you have it, you know, be on the lookout, you know, for your children and your grandchildren. You know, my granddaughter complains about her legs. And every time she complains about her legs, my senses go up. I was asking, you know, make sure you tell your mom, make sure you go tell your doctor, you know. I don't know, could be she's playing too much. Or, again, they say, you know, it happens in children, but because we always kind of brush things off with kids, fibromyalgia goes undetected. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it to you today. It's not, you know, something that people pay a whole lot of attention to, but when you say 10 million people have it, that's quite a few people. quite a few people. So I just thought you might like that little piece of information today. All righty. Well, what are we talking about today? Oh, my goodness gracious. What a story I came across. Now, again, I don't know how much of these stories you already know, because I don't know if these stories are already on the news. But in here in New York and Queens, there was a double tragedy for a family. So there was a family who had just come back from burying their 18-year-old family member. So the father was burying his 18-year-old son, who had been murdered. You know, he says the son, you know, nobody could tell him anything. You know, his mother couldn't tell him anything. He couldn't tell him anything. The uncles couldn't tell him anything. Other friends and family couldn't tell him anything. He just was on a bad path. He got involved with gangs and unfortunately it cost him his life at the age of 18. And, you know, despite the fact that sometimes you could see these things coming, of course, you know, it hurts. So they were home from burying the son that day. And he had the father has a 4-year-old son, autistic, very autistic, so it says. And he was walking with another family member, and the little boy broke away, 4 years old, broke away from the hand that was holding him, ran into a car, and he was struck by a car. And, you know, they kept them at bay. They held them down until, you know, the fire department got there, the paramedics got there. And, you know, unfortunately, the father said, the little boy got up and crawled. And he passed out right there and passed away. So he just got finished burying his son, his older son, and you know, the little one broke away from mom's hand. And even though mom chased after him, she didn't reach him in time. And he was struck by a car. Mom was injured, not as bad, but she was injured. But little 4-year-old DeMonte McDonald. Poor little thing. You know, and, you know, we're playing the blame game. You know, dad is blaming the paramedics because he said that, you know, all the while they were waiting for the paramedics, you know, they're like, don't move them. So he was holding them down, you know, keeping them from moving. And when the paramedics got there, they were like, okay, step back, we'll take care of him. And as he, you know, removed himself, he crawled. He was crawling towards the mother. And again, he just didn't make it. Right there in front of everybody. Right there, he passed out and passed away. So, you know, prayers to the, you know, for the family. You know, it was a very heartbreaking story to read. You know, you imagine burying one child and then the same day. All right, so what else are we talking about here? I got a couple of crazy stories. So I want to talk about this, though. You know, we have tons of packages in this house. Oh, my gosh. Man. If we got a dollar for every box, we'd have a couple dollars in our hands. We don't think about the UPS and the FedEx and the, you know, postal workers out there that have been enduring this heat. And they had, you know, this article that they wrote about, you know, how they've been really, really suffering. And, you know, you know, you think about this stuff, and they were talking about the fact that a lot of the FedEx trucks, they don't have air conditioning. And they were saying that the trucks don't have air conditioning because the engines have to constantly be turned on and off, and that door, they say, gets opened all day long. They're given an average of how many times. Oh, they say up to about 130 times a day on average is that door opened and closed. And they were saying that in some of these delivery trucks between UPS, FedEx, that before certain times, before 2003, the trucks didn't even have air conditioning. So they say that there were times when the workers would take a picture of the thermostat in the back of the truck, and it was reading 150 degrees. Can you imagine? We're complaining, and these people are working long hours. They're working at least 8 hours. And sometimes you see them, they're walking around with their wet towels and all kind of things. And, you know, they say some of the trucks have fans, some of the trucks don't. They say that, you know, now they're finding that more delivery people are becoming really ill, really, really ill. And some of them have been found to have been passed out, almost passing out. They say one of the guys called his family and was completely, had become incoherent. And they had to call 911. And, you know, he got some medical attention. They say that a couple of workers, one in Texas, that, you know, they passed away. Yes, they lost their life out there being in this heat all day long. Yeah, all day long. These UPS drivers and FedEx drivers are in these cars, and, you know, they say they go to these classes and they tell them to drink a lot of water, drink a lot of, like, Gatorade for the electrolytes so that they can stay hydrated, drink a lot of cucumber water, drink eat a lot of watermelon, eat a lot of cucumbers. You know, but is that really, you know, something that is really helping? I don't know. One of the guys said there was a day he drank like 12 bottles of water and Gatorade, and he had come close to a heart attack. So even after drinking all of that, so, you know, what do you do at this point? What do you do? I just, in all this article, I never really saw where the powers that be really were offering much. You know, you can't leave, you know, they can't leave those trucks running. You can't get out, because remember now, most times they're delivering to multiple places on the block. They're not literally driving. You know, they'll walk from, you know, place to place. And remember, some places are narrow, more narrow than others. You know, you just really think about this. And I was reading this, and I'm like, wow, wow. You know, one mom said she has a son that lives with her, and she just packed him up a whole case, a cooler filled with water and things that, you know, to help him keep cool. And there was a time he almost didn't make it. They say currently 34% of the vehicles have air conditioning, and an additional 66% have fans. What in the world are fans going to do? What in the world are fans going to do when it's like 100 and some odd degrees? And you have drivers up to the age like 63. There's a 63-year-old driver. He said that there was a day it was 117 degrees out in Los Angeles, and he was working all day long. So, you know, we talked about love last night, and, you know, while we're inside and we're going through, and, you know, some of us don't have air conditioners on the inside of the home, get that bottle of water. You know, get a couple of bottles of water. We always keep tons of water because I have to drink lots of water. But, you know, when somebody delivers to the house and I hear them out there, I ask them, you know, you want some water? And I give them like two bottles of water. And I got to tell you, that water doesn't even stay cold long. It doesn't even stay cold long. You know, before you know it, it's already hot. And how do I know? Because I know sometimes in the air, you know, we'll have a bottle of water that's frozen. We'll sit on the counter and when we look around, it just has sweat. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's not even frozen anymore. Can you imagine what they're enduring? You know, so I wouldn't say necessarily, you know, offer them anything to eat because, you know, people don't like to eat from everybody. And I wouldn't even encourage it because where we may be doing it as an act of love, people are so mean out here these days. But, you know, give them that bottle of water, you know, as much as whatever else you can do. You know, maybe you can come up with something a little more creative that would help them get through the day. But we have to take care of God's people. You know, a lot of times they tell us, you know, think about the elderly, check on your elderly neighbors and family members and things like that. And we definitely have to. We definitely have to. But when you think about, you know, these temperatures very early in the morning, and these delivery workers, Amazon, oh my gosh, they're delivering all day long. There are times we get like an Amazon delivery three times in a day. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely something that we can work on. Okay? You know, people need us. People need us. And while we sit in the house chilling, or sitting back chilling, you know, these people are out here working and they're dying. They're literally dying. There were a few people found dead, you know, outside their truck, you know, just delivering packages. And they said that even, you know, the ring, the doorbell, the security thing, they said there was an instance where one of those picked up a delivery person actually walking up to the house, but then leaving and collapsing. Yeah, it showed it. So, you know, come on, let's keep them lifted in prayer. Let's do whatever we can do for them, okay? Because they need us. They really, really need us. And I guess I'm becoming a little more sensitive about things too. Things are making me cry easily. Is that the fibromyalgia? I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just beginning to look at things and my heart is just going out to people more. And speaking of which, why people got to act like people? So there's a video that's circulating of an incident that took place in a Family Dollar store and here in New York City. And a couple went into the store. They, you know, the worker said that she watched on the camera about $400 worth of stuff, you know, they had picked up. And when she went to approach them, they went buck wild on her, put her in a chokehold, attacking her and the man. The woman and a man, and they weren't no young people either. You could tell in this video, they were not no kids. And, you know, they attacked the, you know, the Family Dollar person, worker. Yeah, they were, I mean, they went off on her. And I'm like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know? And I don't know. It doesn't say necessarily that it was a manager, but, you know, these people are not playing. And, you know, some people were writing and they were like, well, you know, they should have let them go. You know, it's not worth it. You know, and it's easy to say. And sometimes for some people it's easy to do. Yeah, you know, they're, listen, ain't my money, ain't my stuff. I'm not putting my life out there for anybody. Well, this person did. And as a matter of fact, part of the video showed another worker. You know, I don't know when that person stepped in, but the people were attacking both of them. So, I don't know. You know, just be careful. Be careful when you're on your job. And, you know, that's why we got to stay prayed up on these jobs, because they said that this particular store had been vandalized and robbed quite a bit. Yeah. This wasn't their first or second time for this year. And, you know, some people said, oh, you know, good for them. They fought back. And other people, again, were like, ain't your money, ain't your items. Go ahead. You know, you saving the day, but you could have been killed. And it's true. It's true. Yes, they could have been killed. But thanks be to God that they were not. You know, they were treated by, you know, this one particular person was treated by EMS, and, you know, they were able to go home. But she said she's afraid to go back in the store because they know who she is, and they don't know if, you know, she doesn't know if they'll come back after her. So, you know, you just pray before you go into your job that God covers you. You know, everything is so eventful. You know, years ago, you just didn't experience certain things, or if so, it was very rare. Now, everything seems to be very common, very common. Well, I'm narrowing down, and another story we have here is another tragedy. You know, we talk about this all the time. These people who don't have licenses anymore, or the people who they have been found guilty over and over again, but they're never arrested, or they're arrested and let go, they're never held. Well, five people were killed on a Florida expressway when the idiot Simeon, 30 years old, was driving east in a westbound lane and struck the car at 4:30 in the morning and killed everybody in the car, ranging from 18 to 25. Now, again, 4:30 in the morning, where y'all coming from? But I'm not saying that if they hadn't been on the road, that's not what I'm just asking. 18 to 24, where y'all coming from at 4:30 in the morning? Because I wouldn't want my 18-year-old out at 4:30 in the morning. I got a 23-year-old, and, you know, I hold my breath all the time till I know she's in the house. And for those of us who have children, you know, that's something that we worry about all the time. Well, yeah, they were killed on impact. I mean, nobody died later. They died right there. I talked about this last week. You know, I think it was last week, Tuesday or Wednesday, we talked about this Wednesday, you know, about the other incident that took place with the 22-year-old, and he never made it out the car. Well, here's the thing with this one here. He's been driving without a license since 2014, and he had been busted for driving at 109 miles per hour. Yes, at one point. And they say that he had a former girlfriend who described him as being psychotic and obsessive. And my thing is, he had several infractions. Why wasn't he in jail? Why hadn't he been put in jail? Why had he not been put in jail when they, you know, because he's been caught since then, since the 2014 incident that got his driver's license revoked, and he's 30 years old, and you're responsible for five people at one time, young people, young lives. Again, why aren't these judges and people who let these people out, why aren't they held accountable? I think they need to be held accountable. I think they need to be held accountable. I don't know about you, but I honestly believe so. Well, today we have a special edition of It's Due Time, as our crew are our men. Yes, our ladies are not available today. So we're talking to our men this morning. So, you know, we got their two cents on, Monday, Friday. And here we are Monday getting their two cents again. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. You know, it's always pointless to ask you how you doing because we can hear how you doing when you say good morning.
That's right.
To have you with us. Glad to have you sounding so great and spiffy and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Before we go any further, ask, is there a quote this morning?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a quote waiting. And this quote says, and I really like this quote because a lot of us get so caught up with it. And this quote is, do not let making a living prevent you from making a life. And that's by John Wooding. And I like that quote because sometimes we get so caught up with working and making sure bills is paid and doing this and that, and we forget we got children we don't spend time with, or we got a wife or a husband and we're not spending time. So we get so caught up, you know, making a living, and we forget about making a life. I really like that one.
I do too. I've heard that quote before, and it came through this morning, Brother Al, which quote. And you know, people, you know, we talked about this before. People say, I'll sleep, but you know, I'll rest when I'm dead. And like you said,
I've heard that.
It's just so stupid. You know, and I'm saying it just like that. It's just stupid. You know, life is passing you, and you're not going to, you know, April 3rd, 2021 is only going to come by one time. It's not coming back again. You know, so I agree.
Hey,
that's a very good question.
And, you know, I was watching, just real quick, I was watching a movie last night. And that would made me like this quote, and it's a movie called Question. It's a gospel movie that people need to see. It's called Question, and that it was a pastor. He was so busy doing stuff at the church, and they were having some construction going on, and he kept his son. He had a nice family, beautiful family, and his little son, always like, Dad, you're going to come pick me up. He always had promised, I'm going to come do this, I'm going to come do that. And he got so caught up doing work at the church and this and that. And the last time it's something like, Dad, are you going to pick me up? Because I got a big basketball game. I want you to see me scoring all these points for you. And he said, I promise. And he got caught up. And his son got hit by a car because he didn't go pick up the son. And the son was like, wow, he's not here. He tried calling the dad. He didn't get through to him. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to walk to the game. So this kid is like maybe about 12 years old. And he's just like, I'm just going to walk to the game. And as he's walking to the game, a young lady was in the car texting while driving and hit him. And he was just brain dead. I don't want to get a story away, but it's a beautiful story. Beautiful story.
Isn't that a question of faith?
What, the name of the movie?
Yeah, I think that's a question of faith. I think I've seen that
movie. The movie name is just Question.
It is, because that sounds very, very similar to a movie with Kim Fields and I can't think of this other guy.
Yes, that is it. That's the one with Kim Fields. But I thought it was just Question. I didn't see the other part. That's the movie, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, the question of faith. It is a very good movie. It is a very good movie you know.
I looked at that last night.
It is a good movie. It's a good movie about, you know, just how we pass the time away. And, you know, again, life just passes us by. And before we know it, you know, it's gone. And like you said, you know, unfortunately, you know, the little boy didn't get a chance to experience time with his dad because dad was always working, always busy. Yes. I am familiar with that movie. Well, thank you for joining us, Brother Al. Let's talk about the UPS drivers. You know, they're out here all day delivering. You know, we get packages. They say sometimes we'll get a tracking message that says we can get a package up to 10 o'clock at night. So that means these people are working very late hours. I'm not saying they're the ones that start the day, but they're out here very late. And, you know, some of them are losing their lives, losing their health. Their health is failing because they're out here all day long. And they said that one guy took a picture, 150 degrees in the back of his truck. And they say they have to spend like up to like 3 or 4 minutes sometimes in the back of the truck kind of sifting through the packages to get to the package. That's a lot of time to be messing around in 150 degree weather, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. And I do understand. I used to work with the post office and I drove the mail truck a few times, but mostly I was on foot. And I had to figure out these ways how to stay cool, you know. One of the things I did with the truck, when I did have the truck, you get a route. So it's not that you just go randomly. You get a route on where you go. So I would get there early and put all my packages in order. Okay, I'm going to Glen Street, and I'm starting at this address. I would get all of them packages in order so I could hurry up and get out that truck. But it's you know, it's sad that, and they don't care. Honestly, all they care about is you delivering those packages in the mail. And one of the things I learned that a older gentleman that was on my route, he saw me because, you know, we had to be in uniform and wear a hat. You know, you can take your hat off, but, you know. So what the guy told me, he said, yo, get a wet towel, put on your head, and put your hat over it. And that helped out so much. But what these people should do is go on strike. You need this stuff. You need us. So go on strike until y'all make sure that these people are comfortable, you know, to deliver these packages. Because I'm telling you, and they right. I'm telling you, Pastor, there's no windows in the back of that truck. And you open that door, boy, oh, my God. The heat just knocked you down.
Well, I'm sure. You're talking about almost 200 degrees. You know, they always talk about my approximation. I'm going up 150 degrees. I'm like 200 degrees, you know, and it's dangerous, you know. So, you know, for those of you who are out in that sun doing whatever, you know, put the towel on your head, then put your hat
wet towel
on your head.
To help. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and one of the things too, especially the people that are in those really hot states, like with Pastor Carol, Alabama, Texas, Arizona. You know, it gets stifling hot, and they are here trying to deliver this stuff, man.
Yeah, that's where.
But they need to go on strike. Force them people. They got a union. You know, so force these people to take care of these people.
Yeah, it's something. So, you know, like I said earlier, you know, they said they give them. They told them in training, you know, drink lots of water. Eat lots of cucumbers, eat lots of watermelon. Okay, so then you got to go to the bathroom all the time.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, definitely. Yep.
You know, so it's like stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, Brother Al, I also want to talk about another dangerous job. It seems to be a job at Family Dollar over here in the Melrose section of the Bronx here in New York City. And they seem to be going quite buck wild over there. They're trying to steal the merchandise. And when the employees try to prevent them, you know, they put in a chokehold and, you know, beat her up, you know, ruffled her up some. And, you know, some people say, hey, you know, you should let them have them. Let them, they ain't your stuff. Let them have it. And you have the others that say, you know, no, you know, good for you. You know, you stuck up and said, you know, not on my watch. What's your thought on that one?
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about that I found out, because first of all, I didn't think it was true, and I asked about three different people and three different Family Dollars. Number one, first of all, I do agree. That ain't my merchandise. You don't know if that person got a gun or a knife, and you get harmed or killed. and they're going to say, oh, you know, Pastor Steph is sure good worker here. And they're going to put up a for hire sign in the window. Okay? The reason that those people fight, and it's sad, but I found out that if you work for Family Dollar and you on that shift and merchandise gets stole, you have to pay for it. Now, I had three different people told me that because one lady was, I was in the store when a guy came in and took something, and the guy was so vigilant. I said, and I told the girl, I said, why are you doing that? I said, that man could hurt you or whatever like that. And she said, well, sir, when they steal the merchandise, we have to pay for that. I'm like, wow. So this is why these people are fighting back.
Okay.
Because they're accountable for that. That's crazy. Me personally, you steal what you want. I don't know what that person got. That person can have a knife, like I said, gun, and I'm getting hurt because you didn't took a pickle or something. You know what I'm saying? No, You can have it. You ain't trying to hurt me. I ain't doing that. Because, again, these companies, stuff, they do not care. I used to work with the Army Car Service. Same thing. That money gets stolen, that money is insured. But I'm out here putting my life online for all your money. Uh-uh. You got to drop on me, you take the money.
Yeah.
Now, you trying to hurt me, that's something different. I'm going to have to do some pain.
Wow. All right.
But, yeah, they're accountable for that. Yeah, they're accountable for the merchandise getting stolen.
I've heard that before. I remember when, you know, they used to jump out the restaurant booth. And, you know, they used to, you know, the servers would be responsible for paying that bill. And, you know, it's really a bad place to be put in, you know. Give me a hit, 347-285-7777. Let me know which side of the fence you fall on. Do you think that, you know, hey, it's not my money, it's not my merchandise, let them go ahead and take that stuff? Or either, you know what, I'm willing to fight back, you know. You know, so let me know. Let me know what you think. Thank you so much for joining us.
Look, that's what security is for. That's what security is for, high security.
Well, that's my thing. See, I was a little annoyed with that because when I read that there was, this was not the first time that this particular store had been hit, my thing was, why didn't y'all get security? How come after the second or the third time of this experience, why are you leaving it to the workers to have to defend, you know, the merchandise? Why y'all not hiring people? Because what happens...
Right, and that should have been from the beginning.
Huh?
I said from the beginning, when you open a store that got merchandise, and I'm quite sure Pastor Carol can relate to that, when you open a store that's selling any type of merchandise, your first priority should to have security because you know somebody is going to look to try to steal or rob. So your first thing is to get security. That should be in every store.
And even if you don't even open up the store like that, when you see your store is targeted like that, you see your store is targeted. You need to step up and get these people some security. So you're negligent.
Right.
Because if anything happens to these people on this job, I'm sure they're going to have to pay for that. So we get ready to talk to KL right now. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Brother Al.
How are you?
Morning, brother.
I'm well. How about you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. Glad to hear that you're doing well. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, we're talking about the UPS, the USPS, the FedEx, the Amazon drivers, DHL. You know, all these people delivering our packages. You know, listen, you know, they're at, you tell me sometimes in the morning, it's like already up in the degrees out in the South. And, you know, these people are going through the entire day like this. You know, this is sad, but Al says they should strike. What's your thought?
My thought is this is not the will of God for your life. If you want to go to hell, just live unruly. But why anybody would want to work on that truck? it's beyond me. I mean, I understand you got to pay bills, but that's beyond me right there. That's suicide. I mean, it's either too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer. I mean, there's no medium ground. To me, that would not be the job for me.
Wow. Well, you know, do you help sometimes give away water or something like that when you see the guys or the ladies come through?
Well, not so much in UPS because I banned my wife from shopping, so we don't get no packages at the house, you know. But my truck drivers, you know, since I work in a retail store, my truck drivers, yeah, I know they catching it. I give them water and stuff like that. Well, I really give them Poway to bring back the electrolytes.
Okay. Wow. Well, speaking of retail, so you've got this video that shows, you know, this employee being attacked after she tries to secure, you know, the merchandise that they were trying to steal. And, you know, some people say, hey, it ain't your money. It ain't your merchandise. And then you got others that say, you know what, well, good for you. You know, you're fighting back. You know, what say you? What's your take on this whole thing here?
All right. Well, I like to clear up a few things. One, I will say this disclosure. I am a district trainer for Family Dollar for over 10 years. So I know the ins and outs of this whole thing. But first of all, the only way you are responsible for the merchandise, the only person that's responsible for the merchandise is the store manager. And the only time they are responsible for it is at inventory. Inventory is when it comes out. They don't have to put a cape on and save and do all this stuff. You know, we are a deterrent. So when we speak to every customer, we allow the customer and all the shoplifters to know that we know you're in the store. Now, two things. Sometimes as a store manager or even as an employee, the pride of you and your store won't allow anybody just to take from you. So therefore, you might want to go out and stop that. But what happens is two things. As you see, you can get hurt. Second thing is you can get fired because you cannot address a potential shoplifter because he's not a shoplifter until he crosses the door. And at that point, he's no longer in your store. So you can't stop him in the store. You can't stop him once he leaves the store. That is the law. So you're at a catch-22. Now, if you see them put something in their bag or put something in their pocket, you would say, hey, do you need a shopping cart for that thing you put in your bag? Or do you pay for that thing that's in your pocket? Right. At that point, you've acknowledged that you know what they're trying to do. But you can't stop them. And no, you don't have to pay for that merchandise. The store manager pays for it at the end if he or she has a bad inventory.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's good to know. That's good to know, Pastor KL. That's good to know because, you know, people, you know, they're like, they have insurance for these things and, you know, why are you bothering? And so with the insurance, is it that they're insured for theft and things like that, the stores?
Well, I mean, they're insured for anything. They're insured for floods. You know what I mean? They just had a major recall a few months ago. They were insured for all that. You know, people think that 424 stores had a major recall. So you would think that's a loss. But no, they wrote that off. That's insurance. There's no way. And then for the piece of, I hear y'all talk about security. For the piece of the security, security guard, again, is just another deterrent. They're not armed security. They walk with a club or a flashlight.
Right.
They're just deterrents.
Right.
Just as the workers. The workers are just deterrents. So security is not going to do any more than a worker might do. It just deterrence.
Right.
Now, some stores, unfortunately, don't have that many employees. So if you have a huge store and there's only two people, it makes it easy access. But for these folks to be trying to stroll out with $400 worth of stuff, they had no respect for the store. They've done this before. So it sounds to me that it's an inside job. No one rolls out with $400 worth of stuff in their buggy. It had to be an inside job.
Wow. Wow, wow. Well, that's good to know. You know, when we talk about the, well, me, when I talk about the security, that's what I do mean, you know, as a deterrent, another set of eyes that are on you. And, you know, maybe it would stop, you know, one of the three people that would come in and consider. So because I do understand that you can't physically do anything to these people like you've stated. You know, it's good. You brought up some good points, and it's good to understand that, you know, this is how it flows. And, you know, I agree, you know, let them do what they do. You know, I can't risk my life because these people here, they're too unpredictable. You know, you are endangered when you go to do these things. And like you said, you can't touch them when they're out the store. You can't touch them when they're in the store. So pretty much with those two things being a fact, they pretty much got out the door anyway. They're out the door anyway.
Right.
So, but thank you so much for making that clear to us. Appreciate that. All right, gentlemen. You know, I came across an article that I thought was really interesting. And it says behaviors that turn guys off instantly. And I was like, you know what? We got our men in the house today. So let's see how they feel about these things. And, you know, they're saying, you know, ladies, if, you know, you find that these men don't want to be bothered with you anymore, there's some things that may have turned them off instantly. They say that you are inattentive or distracted, and that turns a man off instantly. Brother Al, would you agree?
I truly agree. You know, I'm with you. You're not paying no attention to me. Especially if you're in that phone, bro. You got to go. But yeah, I said, yes. You know, I'm with you. Why are you not paying attention? That's telling me you don't like me or you don't want to be with me. So, yeah, that's a turnoff.
All righty. Oh, Pastor KL, what say you? You know, inattentive? You know, is that like, hey, I'm not, you know, I don't want to be bothered with that.
Yeah, that if I got to keep on waving my hand to let you know I'm over here and pick me, yeah, we got a problem. We definitely got a problem, you know, especially if I take, you know, I'm a workaholic. So if I take my time out to come see you or come be with you and you have no interest or you're not excited about seeing me or any of that stuff, I'm going to make me some money. You know, so yeah, that's definitely a turnoff.
Okay. What about them checking out the eye candy? Brother Al, is that something that is an instant turn off?
You mean if they with me and they looking at other guys?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd be like, oh, so that's what we're doing. You want to play rough? Okay. Yeah, that's a turn off. Like, obviously, I'm not enough eye candy for you because you looking elsewhere. So you want to look elsewhere? Okay, cool. Let's play this game.
Okay. Pastor KL.
Well, you know, in my former life, you know, I used to get told that I was sexy chocolate. So if you look at all the candy and you got the whole chocolate factory in front of you, we got problems. I just don't understand why you would go to another a candy factory. I really, really don't understand. But yeah, you know, I obviously, you know, I'm not good enough for your diabetes, so we gotta go.
You know, I can't. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, you know, I've heard some people say, you know, well, I don't care if they look as long as they don't touch. So how does that work for you, Brother Al? Is that something that crosses your mind as well?
Not at all. I think I really think it's disrespectful. You know, yeah, I'm with you and you checking out another guy. I'm like, well, why don't you go talk with him? Go let him take you out. You know, that's disrespectful. Nah, I ain't with that. You know, you look but don't touch. Nah, don't look at all.
He just don't look at all.
Put your blinders up. You put your blinders up.
What about you, Pastor KL? You know, have you ever subscribed to look, but, you know, as long as you don't touch, I'm all right with that. Has that ever been a part of your thought process?
No, you know, so as a woman thinketh, so is she. So
you
if
know
you're
what?
Thinking of this stuff, you know, that's who you are. You know, so, I mean, because my thing is this, if you bold enough to look at it while you're with me, what are you doing when you're not with me? Are you talking?
Mm.
Are you speaking? You understand what I'm saying? Well, I mean, right now, you're not talking. You're just looking. But you're bold enough to do that in front of me. Now, come on now. If I took a sneak peek at a booty while I'm with you, you have a fit. Now, I'm just looking, but you find that disrespectful. So how can I not find it disrespectful?
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, I got you. They say instant turn off for a man when you are closed off emotionally. Brother Al.
Oh, with the female, yeah, definitely. That's just showing that, you know, for me, I feel like you're just not interested. I mean, you know, we know that women are emotional creatures, and you're not showing me no emotions, no. You just shut it off on me. It's just telling me you're not interested, so time to go.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, you are shut off emotionally. Is that an instant turn off?
Oh, definitely. You know, again, because women are emotional, so if they don't show nothing else, they don't show the emotional side. And if you don't get that, if you don't get the warm and fuzzy feelings, or listen, even if you don't get the anger, or I'm frustrated today because this happened at my job. If we're not connected at all, we're not showing any kind of emotion, whether it's good or bad, I'm not the one for you. Because either I can't help you solve your problem, or I'm not the solver to your problem. I'm not the solution to your problem. So either way, you know, we're bad. We're bad off.
Okay. You're a poor sport. Oh, you hate to lose. Is that an instant turnoff, Brother Al?
Instantly. Like, you're a sore loser. Like, come on, you can't win all the time. And I'm not going to sit back and let you win all the time because I'm competitive. But I do things, you know, I'm not a sore loser. If I'm competitive, I play to win. And I think you should play to win. But you get mad and you throwing stuff and you upset. Oh, no, it's a turnoff. You can't play no more. You sit back and watch.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Ah, Pastor KL, you're a poor sport. Is that an instant turnoff?
For me, no. It's not an instant turnoff. Nah. I mean, we play in Mortal Kombat and I keep killing you. We don't keep playing. You don't get mad. You got to learn. To me, this is a teaching point. You want to win, you got to learn. I got to keep killing you. You know, it ain't a turnoff. It's a teaching moment.
You know, oh, my goodness gracious. All right, instant turnoff, gentlemen. Fits of jealousy. Is that an instant turnoff for you, Brother Al?
It depends. You know, some people can be a little jealous, you know, and you look at it like, okay, that's kind of cute. She do care about me. But then when they go overboard, like you walking down the street and someone said hi, you said hi, and she ready to kill you. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. She only said hi. What's the problem? What's wrong with you? So I think it depends on how jealous.
Well, they say fit of jealousy, Brother Al. That ain't minor.
Okay, so then, yes, that's a turnoff there. If it ain't minor... And go beyond minor, yeah, that's a turnoff for me. That jealousy will make people do some. That jealousy will make you do some things. I'd be sleeping. Have to sleep with one eye open. That's a turnoff.
All right. Pastor KL, fits of jealousy, is that an instant turnoff? You know, some people think it's cute.
No, ain't nothing cute about that. I don't introduce you to my family yet. And when you bump into my sister, she comes give me a hug and you ready to kill my sister. You don't even know who she is. Jealousy is a form of insecurity. You know what I mean? So, no, either we're going to work on it. But if you have a fit about it, if you're going all out and making scenes in the street because the teller said good morning, no, we ain't got problems. You got to stay home.
Oh, goodness. He said because the teller said good morning. All right, Brother Al. Is the turnoff pessimist, someone who's always complaining, someone who's always talking about they don't like something, always criticizing, is that an instant turnoff?
Yes. Oh, my God. Shut up. You complain about everything. Literally, good Lord wake you up this morning. You woke up, right? You're breathing, right? You're able to walk. Shut up. Yeah, that's just an instant turnoff. Complaining all the time. And, oh, my God, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to go.
All righty. Pastor KL, are you tolerable of the pessimist or, an instant turnoff?
Nah, it's an instant turnoff. I put on a red shirt, you want the blue. I put on a blue shirt, you want the black shirt. I give you roses, you like lilies. You know, it's instant turnoff. You know, you don't appreciate nothing. You know what I mean? It's hot. Oh, no, it's too hot. You know, it's cold. No, it's too cold. You gotta go.
Oh my goodness. Oh, a backstabber. Instant turn off or somebody, you know, you could work with for a little while. You could teach him. My best chance is a teachable moment. Brother Al, what are we talking about here?
No, ain't no teachable moment. I gotta go and say, Pastor Steph, can you pull this knife out of my back? No, you backstab. I mean, you got no respect for me. You got, you know, no belief in me or whatever, where you're going to stab me in the back. That's a turn off for me.
Okay. Pastor KL, backstabber. As long as she ain't stabbing you in the back, I can tolerate it. Is that you?
No. That means you are a serial killer. You're killing folks.
You know what?
Spiritually, emotionally, naturally. I'm just saying, listen, spiritually, naturally, emotionally, you're killing folks. And then I got to be with you. No, because that tells me that you have the potential to kill me. So if no one else is going to take care of me, I got to take care of me. You got to go.
All right. Now, teachable moment or an instant turn off? Materialistic. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's an instant turn off for me. I dated someone like that. Boy, that didn't last long at all. You know, everything got to be name brand. I don't want that, okay? I go in the store and pick up a no brand name soda. Why you got that? Why you can't get Pepsi? Because I want this one. That's why. You know, no, it's a turn off.
Oh, goodness. What's wrong with a good Fanta every once in a while? Right, Brother Al?
Yeah, exactly. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Why I got to get Pepsi? Okay, maybe I don't want Pepsi. You know what I'm saying? It's 7-0. Maybe I want this 7-down. I don't want 7-0. I want 7-down. What's the problem?
Maybe you want that Dr. Thunder. You don't want that Dr. Pepper.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe I don't want the Fruit Loops. I want the Fruitios. What's the problem? Same thing, just different name.
Fruit Rings.
Which one of you took a picture and sent it to me, and y'all had like some off name brand? Which one of you did that to me? It was so long ago. Oh, my goodness. We had that conversation.
Oh, I think that was Pastor KL did that because he made the joke on it.
It might have been me.
It was Pastor KL. Yeah, I remember that. It was a cereal.
It was a cereal.
Yes, yeah, that was Pastor KL.
The apple zings.
The apple zings, yeah. who's wins. What's the problem?
That's right. That's right. I should reserve the right to be able to pick up whatever I want to pick up. Pastor KL, if she picked up the apple zings, is it an instantaneous turnoff? What are we talking about here?
You know what? And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, when I met my wife, you know, my wife would pick all these no-frill stuff. No-frill greens in the can, no-frill beef. I said, I'm not eating that stuff. Listen, call me bougie, call me what you want to call me. If it don't have Kellogg's on it or Del Monte, I'm not eating that stuff. I'm not taking a chance. No. When I tell you, she had every generic cereal, every generic canned food. Listen, if the chicken was generic, she was going to find it. No, baby.
Wow.
We're not eating that. Not in this house.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometimes the generic tastes better than the name brand.
But you only save 10 cents. Spending 10 cents.
10 cents is 10 cents. The president said, 10 cents is 10 cents.
That's my dime. And if I want to save it for a rainy day, then I want to save my 10 cents for a rainy day.
Watch this. If I come to your house, and you know, that's why my wife don't invite me to her friend's house. If I come to your house, and you serve me, and you ask me if I'm thirsty, and I say yes, and you serve me a drink in a foam or a paper cup, I'm not drinking it. You can't serve me out of no plastic cup.
Wait. Okay. Are we talking, because this may make a difference. This may make the difference. Seriously, for real. This may make the difference. Are we at like a barbecue and now, you know, somebody's serving and, you know, you go get a pepper because that's what they have because they have a ton of guests? Or is it more of an intimate setting where you're just visiting and it's just you and your wife? And she says, you know, would you like something to drink? And she brings you a plastic cup. Is there a difference for you or is it? No,
Pastor
not
Steph,
at all.
It don't. We could be at the pool, or we could be around the coffee table. If you bring me a plastic cup, I'm not drinking out of it. I'm no longer thirsty.
Wow.
No longer.
Wow.
In fact, my wife will let you know. Listen, watch this. Watch this. My wife will. If I go to a church and I'm preaching, I'm bringing my own glass. Because you're not bringing me no plastic cup to the pulpit.
Wow.
I bring my own glass.
Wow. Do you really have a glass in her pocketbook?
I do. It's a goblet. I do.
Wow.
It's a nice glass, too. It ain't one of the foo-foo glasses. It's a nice glass.
Wow.
Yes, listen, y'all carry these big purses anyway. You might as well carry something worth it, worthwhile.
You know what? I'm done. Now, I have to admit, you know, if it's intimate and, you know, whether it's even for the pastor or guest at church or whatever, you know, I'm pulling out the glassware. I'm real funny about that. I will not. You know, now if you a delivery man, you got the to go stuff. However, but if you're invited
to the
house, if you stop by and you're personal, you know, a personal friend, I'm going to give you a glass. Now, if we had a cookout and it's 35 people, I'm sorry, I'm not pulling out no glass for you.
You better have one glass
on
reserve.
Huh? What you say?
You better have a glass on reserve.
I have tons of glasses. But if now I got to pull out a glass for 35 people, are y'all staying back to help?
No, not 35. Not 35. Just for me. Not for 35.
How would I know that?
For the rest of the drink out of the paper cups.
But how would I know that you need the glass? You follow what I'm saying? That's why I ask you if we're talking about intimate or if we've got, like I said, like just an outright cookout, I'm having some people over, and we're, how would I know that you need the glass? What do?
I tell you, baby, you got a glass? I can't drink out of this. I'm just saying. I'm booming y'all. Either bring me the can or bring me a glass.
You'd rather drink out the can instead of a cup?
Instead of that cup, I sure would. But I'll open that can myself.
Wow. But how we... Okay, wait. Before I ask that question, what did you want to say, Brother Al?
I was saying, it's 100-something degrees outside, Pastor Steph. Pour the water in my hand, I'll drink it. I'll cut my hand together. You pour that in my... You pour the water in my hand while you go find Pastor Carol and glass. I don't care. It's 100 degrees. I need something to drink. Pour it in my hand and then go find Pastor Carol and glass.
Something tells me that Brother Al and Lady Tamika are going to have cups at their wedding. I ain't coming.
You're going to dig out of the cup while my ass is puny and scorch you out.
Oh, my God.
We got some beautiful cups. We're going to have some beautiful cups.
Okay, wait. I got two questions. Number two is going to become question number one. We had an event, and they had very beautiful, like that thick plastic, goblet. Yeah. Is that a no for you as well?
Yeah, that's a no. I got to have a glass. I have to have a glass.
Oh my God. Okay. Question number two. How do you have 35 people at and you bust out with a glass and everybody else got paper cups? How you doing that?
I'm not like the bishop. I'm not asking you to kiss my ring. Just bring me a glass.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. You know,
just booty.
In her pocketbook, LTPM always had everything in his bag. I don't care what you needed. The bus driver needed a flashlight. She had that. And I know one time we went and she pulled out the plastic, you know, you have the prepackaged plastic, good, you know, silverware. I was like, oh, Japan, for real? So we got to be ready. You know, so instead of that, you got the glass in your bag. Really? Wow. Wow. That is straight crazy. That is funny. See what happens when you talk about all kind of things on this due time with Pastor Steph? You'll never know what people are going to bust out with. Well, gentlemen, we're going to continue this conversation next week. Now, next week, God spares, we'll have the ladies on with us. So it's going to be a real interesting conversation. But I thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation. Boy, I learned something about Pastor KL after 30 years. I'm making sure I got a whole lot of paper goods in my house. Pastor KL, this is just for you, brother. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Don't worry. I'm going to have to call Katie. She'll take care of me.
She surely will.
And Pastor Steph, write his name on the cup, too.
That's right. So nobody else touched his cup. Oh, my goodness. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Boy, we got to have a whole lot more of these conversations. Oh, it's that time of the hour where we have the switch tip with Shantice. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor?
How are you? I am well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. What you got for us today?
Okay, today we got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And we got some reading to do today because this is deep. You know, God is getting deeper and deeper with us. Our switch tip 115 is don't push God to his limit. And I was reading yesterday, and I was coming across some things in this Bible that was like, whoa. And these set of verses hit me personally because there was not that long ago a time when my mentality was all jacked up, mainly because of how I was thinking and filling up myself and not realizing how, you know, deep it was, that really I was telling God, this is how I feel about you. You know, it's like, oh, God, I love you. I care about you. But I ain't really feeling myself and tired of myself and so on and so forth. But when I came across this yesterday, it just really shed God to me in a new light. And I know, you know, we say a lot of times you can read the same verse 5,000 times. And each time, literally, it can speak to you on a different level and in a different way. It does not mean that the meaning of the verse changes. It could just possibly point out a different thing about yourself or how you view God and or Jesus or so on and so forth. So first, we have to make sure that we are realizing who we are. Isaiah 43:10 in the New Living Translation. But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There has never been, and there never will be. Verse 21, I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. Now, God has been placing some things in my lap that I've either prayed for, but never officially prayed for, but just by, you know, but talking to him. You know, God, I would love to be able to do that again if that's within your will. I remember when I used to do this and I really enjoyed that, but I know you got me doing this. I don't know if you ever let me go back to that, but nonetheless, just please help me to be content in, you know, what you give me. And these two verses here, it's so powerful because, again, we know that God owns it all. We know that every single person, every single thing, whether it's a living, breathing mammal or whether you're talking about a piece of paper or flower, everything and everyone has been created by God. At the same time, there have been those of us who he has specifically pinpointed. Remember the verse that says, many are called, but few are chosen. There is a big group of people that God has said, you know what, I have made you just for me. Again, God has sent Jesus to go and pursue and to grab and to get those who he says, you know what, go get Nick, go get Mary, go get, and those are the ones who he chooses to really get to know him, to really understand who he is, to pluck them out the world so they can have a real chance with him, and not just so we can be with him and chill, but then he uses everything he has instilled in us, and he uses us to assist him in grabbing other lives that he is pursuing. Very, very, very powerful. So we really have to make sure we're realizing that. We were chosen. He created us specifically so that we can get to know him, so that we can be with him, and that we can work for him. Now, God is promising to give us victory. Victory meaning achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulty. So God is promising to win every struggle and battle that seems like we can't win. Everything that seems like, I don't know how this is going to be right again. I don't know how I'm going to get up out of this. And God is saying, don't worry about this. I got you. And I'm promising you this. And God, despite how stupid we act and how ignorant we act, he's going to stay to his word because he has to stay true to himself. Isaiah 43:14, New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verses 16 through 19. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. So for those who don't realize what God is talking about right now, he's talking about how when he sent Moses to free the Israelites in Egypt, and Pharaoh finally, you know, said, okay, take your people and get up out of here because now you didn't kill my son. You and your God didn't kill my son. But then after they left, they walked up out of Egypt, Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, and he got him and his men to go and pursue the Israelites. But then God, you know, parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could get on the other side of the dry land, and then he just went and killed and drowned every one of the Egyptian soldiers in the water. So again, the Israelites were, oh my gosh, how are we going to make it now? Because this is, you know, the end. We ain't swimming. Everybody can't swim across this water, but God made a way. Then God goes on to say, but forget all that. All of that is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but especially if you've read biblically, and if you, like me, and watched The Prince of Egypt 900 times, or if you just watched the Ten Commandments, you know, you were able to read and get a visual of what God did. He did the impossible. No one else would have been able to part no sea and have anyone walk through the water and then close it right back up so that the enemies were then killed. And God is saying, that's minor to what I'm prepared to do for you. And I've been taking myself through some stuff, giving myself some headaches, because it just seemed like I kept running up against a whole bunch of struggles and a whole bunch of difficulties. And God is like, you stressing yourself out. I'm sitting here chilling. I got you. Did you not forget what I did with so-and-so and for so-and-so? And I'm about to do something even greater for you. So, again, that can still fit with realizing who you are, because if God thought very little of us, or if he threw his hands up in the air and said, you know what, I'm tired of you, I won't be bothered with you anymore. And even though these things, God can do these things just like he created the world by just speaking. He ain't got to lift a finger. He don't have to raise his hand. But he's taking the time to do all these things because he knows who we are and he knows why he created us. Now, every single one of us, whether you're transparent about it or not, every single one of us have had some serious or a serious sin that we have been asking directly or indirectly God to save us from. Some things, because I remember there was one particular sin with me, I was ready to take my life because I was just like, you know what, God, I ain't going to get this right. So let me stop wasting both our time. And let me just take myself out because I'd rather just bow out now than for me to keep doing this and then see you send your son right now. I'm going to be on the left and all that. I ain't trying to do all that. So, but forgetting that would happen anyway, especially if I took my life. But there was just that one thing that it just felt like, again, going back to God saying, I'm giving you the victory. I'm going to help you achieve and master all of the struggles and everything that looks like it's against you in every difficulty. But everyone has had at least that one thing. And God is saying, you know what? Well, let me read the verses first. So, again, we're in Isaiah 43. These are verses 25 and 26, New Living Translation. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Let us review the situation together and you can present your case to prove your innocence. Now, not only is God willing to, all right, he sees what we do. He knows everything. He sees what we do. And he's like, you know what? I should smash you for this. But I'm going to just wipe this away because I know who you are. I know what I have put in you. I know the plans that I have for you. And if I take the time to smash you for every ignorant thing that you do, you're not going to be able to level up to me, last week switched it. You're not going to be able to level up to me, and you're not going to be able to do the things that I need you to do, even for yourself, even before we start getting to where God sends us to people to minister and support and so on and so forth. Even for yourself, even with my relationship with you, it is going to be trash because now all you're focusing on are the consequences and what you can't do anymore and how these consequences just hurt so bad. So you know what? I'm willing to block these sins away, not so you can now use that freedom to go and sin again, but so now that you can use that freedom to live the way I want and need you to live, which is the way we want to live, but a lot of times we don't have the guts to do what it is that we need to do. Let us review the situation together, and you can present your case to prove your innocence. So God, even though he sees the crazy things that we do, and 9 times out of 10, we know we shouldn't be doing those things, but we do it anyway. And then he's letting us come to him, go to him and say, well, God, this is why I did this. And he allows you to rationalize it with yourself and with him. And even with him correcting you, he doesn't owe us that. And again, you know you ain't had no business doing them things. So what are you really going to say to him? So you know what? This is really scary because now it puts me in the mind of when he finally decides to wrap this world up and you have to stand before him, what are you really going to say to him then? Because he gave you a chance before to come with your buffoonery. You definitely can't go to that bring that buffoonery to him if you have to see him on the judgment line. There's really nothing to say at that point. So it's really scary. So we have to keep that in mind. So even with all of this, with us realizing who we are to God and why he created us, and he created us specifically for him and chose to pluck us up out the world so he can give us better, and he is choosing to just blot out and erase our sins so that we can still just focus on him and who he is and what he wants to do with and through us. Some of us still, that doesn't faze us. It still doesn't matter. And we're going to read Jeremiah 13, 1 through 14, New Living Translation. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen loincloth and put it on, but do not wash it. I'm going to kind of paraphrase some. Take the linen loincloth you are wearing and go to the Euphrates River. Hide it there in a hole in the rocks. So Jeremiah went to go do that. Then a long time afterward, the Lord said to me, go back to the Euphrates and get the loincloth I told you to hide there. Jeremiah went back and got it, but the cloth was falling all apart and it was rotten. Then I received this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. This shows how I will rot away the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. These wicked people refuse to listen to me. They stubbornly follow their own desires and worship other gods. Therefore, they will become like this loincloth, good for nothing. They were created to be my people, my pride, my glory, to honor my name, but they would not listen to me. So tell them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. May all your jars be filled with wine. And they will reply, well, duh. That's what jars are filled for, are supposed to be filled with. Then tell them, no, this is what the Lord means. I will fill everyone in this land with drunkenness, from the king sitting on David's throne to the priests and the prophets, right down to the common people of Jerusalem. I will smash them against each other, even parents against children, says the Lord. I will not let my pity or mercy or compassion keep me from destroying them. Do you want to chance that? We read, I don't know how many times, that God is a loving God. We wake up every morning with brand new mercy and grace and love. And then there will be a point where you push him to the point where ain't none of that going to matter. When he's ready to smash you permanently, he is going to smash you permanently. So we have to make the conscious decision to make sure we make the switch from pushing God to his limits. Do not push God to his limit, to making sure we are acknowledging who he is, who he created us to be, so that we can walk in the victory that he has promised us. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. What's the switch tip again?
Don't push God to his limit.
All righty. Thank you so much. We pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
All righty. Our benediction. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Revelation 5:12-13. Don't push God to his limit. You know, I was looking at the all the stuff we talked about today. You know, we talked about, you know, the Family Dollar thing and just how people are, you know, pushing to the limit. You know, they're going in and, like Pastor K.L. said, you know, something of that magnitude has got to be an inside job. You know, we talked about, you know, the UPS drivers, you know, who are just going on and on doing their job and, you know, just being pushed to the limit. And, you know, I remember hearing someone say one time, we were on a platform, this platform, ministry going on, preaching, and he said, you know, God is a God who will never give up on you. And I didn't care for that phrase because God says, I'm going to, you know, there's going to be a time when I turn my face from you. Does that mean he's giving up on you? No. But does it also mean that he's going to be intolerable, that we are going to continue to try God? We're going to continue to push God. We're going to continue to just have this never-ending opportunity with God where we're just going to continue and continue and continue and continue to go on. You know, are we going to keep pushing? And it's funny because it was last night that I said, you know, are we really going to test God's gangster? You know, I don't know what made me say that, but that's what came to my mind. Are we really going to test God's gangster? Are we really just going to go and continue to push and push and push and push, and we're going to assume that there's this never-ending point where God is going to say, you know what, I'm just going to have to either smash you myself or allow you to be smashed? And I think it's just real presumptuous to believe that God just going to sit around and, excuse me, just let us just go on and on and on, disregard him, disrespect him, be disobedient. You know, doesn't Deuteronomy 28 say, you know, there's part of it is, you know, blessings when you're obedient and curses when you're disobedient? So right then, that says that although God may not cause something, he may allow something. And that allowance just may come through because he's just tired. And, you know, people just continue to just move on and where they don't think nothing about God. Is God going to continue to accept your nothing? Think about that. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, our men this morning. Definitely gave us something to think about, who always comes through. Thank you for hanging out with us and spending our day with us. Yes, our 2 hours is our day. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen the relationship with God right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's kingdom business time. Episode 6 in our My Two Cents segment and church folk. Let's talk about it. Until then, God spares our life. I love you.